about me. He said, you can come as long as Jesus is the center of your religious experience. I don't care what you are. Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, whatever you are, as long as it's Jesus, you can and will be saved. But Jesus has to be the center of it all. My brothers and sisters, when we then ask the question, who then is my neighbor? Christ told the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10 and 25 through 37. You don't have to put that up there, Sister Mathis. That's too many scriptures. In Jesus' day, relations between Jews and Samaritans were at odds. Samaritans were despised for having intermarried with Gentiles and having adopted unorthodox or different or unacceptable religious beliefs. And yet, now, who is your neighbor? The parable of the Good Samaritan is told by Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. It is about a traveler who is stripped of clothing, beaten, and left half dead along the road. First, we see a Jewish priest, and then we see a Levite come by, but both of them avoided the man beaten. Finally, a Samaritan happens upon the traveler. Although Samaritans and Jews despise each other, the Samaritan helped the injured man. Today, a good Samaritan represents Jesus, who paid every cost associated with healing the broken man. That's us. Let me say it again. Today, the good Samaritan represents Jesus, who paid every cost. Jesus paid it all. He paid every cost associated with healing the broken man. I was broken, I was lost, I was destitute, but Jesus came and paid my price. I went and stretched it high and stretched it wide. The price of redemption was paid. My God, my brothers and sisters, like the innkeeper, we are charged with the duty of care for certain individuals who's come into our life broken by sin, alienated from God. That's my role. I have to pray for those who don't even like me. I have to do for those who war against me, because the Lord has given up the mandate. If I'm to be like Christ, Christ who did not see, and I've stumbled and I've fallen in my life, Jesus said, how much more do you think they will do to you? If they crucify him, they will also do it to you. And Jesus is still speaking to the world today about this same type of love, when he said, love thy neighbor. I feel I need to say this. Some people think that they are better than others because of the color of their skin. Or because they are financially secure. If the truth be known, we all came from one man and one woman. Which makes us all related. Which makes us all brothers and sisters. And that makes us all neighbors. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. Jesus' instruction for you and I is also new, because it raises the standard. And Jesus set our standard for living. When we think of loving others as ourselves, this means following the pattern set for us and putting the needs of others above our own. The question we could ask is, how does Jesus love us? Jesus offered himself freely to us. He offered himself freely to all who call on him, whether rich poor, strong, or weak. Jesus loved the needy, the immature, as well as the disobedient believer.
Yes, sir.
Just as much as he does the strong, more mature, and faithful believer.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes.
You heard that?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So just because we are saved, he still loves us even though we do things that displeases him. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is working my stuff and your stuff.
Yes,
the Holy Spirit is working to get stuff out of our life that shouldn't be there. The Holy Spirit is working because it's doing things in us that we can't do for ourselves. I may be a liar and the Holy Spirit says, I've got to get that out. I may be a thief and the Holy Spirit says, I've got to get that out. Why? In order to look like the Lord, we cannot go before the Lord with that stuff in our life. That's why we've been predestined to look just like him in holiness and righteousness. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed. All that stuff that we used to do will be done away with. Love. Jesus in John 15 and 13 verse tells us he laid down his life for his disciples. Jesus paid the ultimate price, which was required by God for man's sins to be forgiven. And then in verses 14 and 15, John 15, 14 and 15, Jesus called them friend and not servant. Friend and not servant. Verse 14, it literally tells us, I said earlier that most a person can do for a friend is to die for him. This type of death is a clear demonstration of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him as a love gift to die for the sins of the world. A friend is to die for him. He came, suffered, and died for me and you. Jesus demonstrated his love in verse 12b by dying for his friend, which are those who obey him. You can't be a friend and disobey. You got to be a friend when you obey. But Jesus' love is not limited to that because he's still trying to save us from ourselves. I have shared with the church so many times, how can a man go to hell? Because God has made it possible for every man to be saved and go to heaven. Why? Because the price has already been paid. All we have to do is accept the Lord and repent of our sins. That's easy. Salvation is a gift. The gift has already been paid for us. And all we have to do is say, thank you. The stuff that we do here is works. That's part of a reward. Has nothing to do with salvation. Oh, I'm going to live like this. I'm going to live like that. I'm going to do this. Those are works. All you do in salvation is repent of your sin. And accept the Lord. The price is paid. The work is done. You know who's mad? Angels can't get salvation. They mad. He's mad. Lucifer's mad because he can't get it. He's mad at me. He's mad at you. Everybody who's under the sound of my voice, he's mad at because he knows he cannot, and all of those angels that came with him cannot be saved. Salvation was never designed for angels. And because he messed up, that's some bad angels that are locked up, Brother Gaines. And they, if he let them loose, they would kill every one of us. God got them locked down there. They don't like, especially preachers. They come at us at a heartbeat. But there, he got some helpers. And those helpers will try to take you out. Those helpers will try to take you out when you're playing on your piano. When you come into prayer meeting, they will try to take you out because they want to stop the gospel, which is the good news. They don't want to hear the good news. God demonstrated his love. We told here that Abraham was called a friend in 2 Chronicles 20:7 and Isaiah 41:8 because they obeyed. 2 Chronicles 20:7, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And Isaiah 41:8, but you Israel are my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the descendant of Abraham, my friend. God shared with Abraham how he would make him the father of many nations. God promises are seen in John 15:16-17. Jesus said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't choose me. I chose you. That's enough to shout about. I've been running around thinking that I'm going out to the... No. He chose all of us. Now I understand how he knows how many will get to heaven, because he saw us before we were born. He saw those that would repent. He saw those who wouldn't. And he knows how many will make it into heaven, because he said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. Because if it had left up to me, I would be doing all kinds of stuff. But he said, I chose you. Obedience to Jesus by his friend is expected, but they are not the author nor the creator of this discipleship to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
They did not choose him. It was Jesus who both chose and appointed and then set them apart for a purpose. Jesus knew us, saw us, chose us for the discipleship task that we had. And then verse 17, Jesus said, these things have I commanded you, that ye love one another. Jesus gave us the key. And that is for us to love one another. That is the command. That's the requirement according to the Lord. When we obey the command, we are fulfilling what the Lord has established for you and me. Love. Friendship to remember. The doors of the church are open. If you are here and your desire to accept the Lord as your personal Savior, you may come as a candidate of baptism, or you may come with a letter of recommendation, or you may come on a Christian experience. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. He's been knocking at the doors of your heart for generations and generations. When you accept the Lord this day.
Thank you for tuning in to Paradise Ministries. We pray something said today has encouraged you in your personal relationship with the Lord. If you would like to have a copy of this message, you can email us at antiochmathis@bellsouth.net, or you can send a love offering of $8 to Paradise Ministry, P.O. Box 281, Woodworth, Louisiana, 71485. As always, we hope to see you in church.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
You ever find yourself in a place that you don't know what to say? Yeah.